Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's absolutely fabulous to have you with us today. Oh, my goodness. Today, finally, we're under 80 degrees for 8 a.m. in the morning. Can you honestly believe it? I am so super tired of this summer. I don't know about you, but I would love to have some colored leaves looking out my window. So, you listeners who have a lot of leaves in your backyard, send me a few. Boy, I'd love to see them. Send them to me on Facebook, on Twitter. You can even send them in a picture in an email. That would be great. So today, we have the most exciting show for you. I have Dr. Amber with us today. She is going to be speaking about fatigue. I know nobody out there is tired. You're never tired. We all know the story. I'm tired. I never get any sleep. What can I do? And then 10 years down the road, wow, I'm really sick. I should have done something about that fatigue and maybe taking care of myself maybe 10 years ago. We'll all be talking about fatigue today and botanicals and homeopathy in the realm of naturopathic medicine. We are celebrating Naturopathic Medicine Awareness Week, and it is the first ever. Yes, I know, they said it would never be done. Your medicine, wow, it's nothing. It's not important. Well, it is important. It's always been around for centuries. And regular medicine has come about with technology and really a lot of people just learning. We kept going forward. I want to know more about that. Let's learn more about that. That's the current medical paradigm. But it's really great to always keep all of our background information about what we used to use before, botanical medicine, homeopathy, nutrition, because without it, really, our body is not nourished. So we really do need to have these basics in place. And here in New Orleans, we have the oldest pharmacy museum. And when you go inside the front door, the first thing you see is pictures of herbs and journals. A lot of really old roots and seeds of some plants for medicine. And on the other side are homeopathic pellets. And on the other side, they have different things like farming tools. Would you ever believe that to be in a pharmacy? So we really have not strayed in our concepts of medicine. We've just set them to the side and gone about with our current form of medicine, which is let's try to take some antibiotics. Let's see if the surgery might help me feel better. But that's okay because you know what? We're coming back into a phase where we do need to start taking care of ourselves. And both of these medicines can coexist. So there is no good and bad. It's just all good around the circle. So today, Dr. Amber Golshani will be explaining to us about naturopathic medicine, what she believes it is, how she likes to work with her patients with botanicals and homeopathy, and how many times she's had her own struggles with fatigue. So we'll have a really good her experience. I'll add in my experience. And we'll also have some tips for you. Dr. Golshani is from Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine, so she will also be sharing about her education. So I'd like to welcome Dr. Amber to the show. Dr. Amber, thank you for joining us today.
Hi, Dr. Jeanette. Good to be here. Thank you so much.
So we always talk about naturopathic medicine, and haven't you felt the same way I have about it? In the beginning, it's been like, it's always been there. It's been pushed to the side, and now we're coming and bringing it back forefront.
Yes, I think it is really important to recognize that this type of medicine, this is truly traditional medicine, and the years and years and years that this has been practiced has contributed significantly to wisdom, the wisdom that we have. The knowledge that we have now with our current medical system is important too, but I think they're different things, wisdom and knowledge. And I think that we need both to, like you said, create that total wellness and health for people.
You know, so many times people have said, they would come to me and they would say, my doctor didn't fix me. He couldn't fix it. And I have a surgery scheduled on Friday. Can you fix me by Friday so I don't have to have the surgery? And I think it's important to share so many times, you know, what is naturopathic medicine? You know, great.
Yeah.
What I say to them is, go have that surgery. I'll come sit with you if you'd like, because I do a whole lot of, you know, compassionate work where I do go sit with patients in the, you know, hospital, and we'll I'll support you emotionally and spiritually, and then let's turn it around, and when you're finished, then we'll see where we're at.
Yeah, you know, naturopathic medicine, it's not a quick fix, and it's not emergency medicine. That's why we have the type of medicine that we have now, that's the dominant form of medicine practiced in the United States, is great for those emergency and life-saving procedures. But what we really need, if we want to be healthy, is to start years and years and years before we reach that point. And that's where naturopathic medicine is effective, because we not only, you know, we not only can help people reverse some early stages of illness and disease, but we can actually teach people how to be healthy and prevent that stuff from happening in the first place. I think you're right. You know, we don't have a magic pill, even though it might be made from a plant instead of a pharmaceutical, that's going to just take away a disease or illness which has been years in the making. You know, most of us didn't get to our state of health overnight, and it's going to, you know, we're not going to get better overnight either. And I think that's really important that people understand that, that this is really a process, a lifelong, or not a lifelong, but a can be a, you know, many months or sometimes year-long process to restoring health.
So, Dr. Amber, can you give us a little bit of information about your education and your experience so far? Because a lot of people are confused about the idea of naturopathic medicine. And what I always like to include in the show is the concept that we did not just read books and take an online test and, you know, throw down a few hundred dollars for this degree.
Right.
And that is why this Senate bill has recognized naturopathic physicians, and it states directly in the Senate bill that it's a postgraduate 4-year accredited naturopathic medicine degree, that is what's considered as naturopathic physicians, and how important that is to bring those words forth. Because if you don't know this type of medicine, and you're saying the lady down the street does great, you know, little herbs, she cooks them up in her kitchen, and I go there, and she must be a naturopathic physician like you.
Right.
The answer is potentially nada. So if you'd like to share with us a lot of your take on that.
Sure. Well, as you mentioned, you know, naturopathic medicine, actually there is a, you know, a definition. And the problem is that not all states recognize who can be legally called that. And that's where we get into a lot of confusion. I've had patients tell me too, like, oh, I saw a naturopath. And I say, who? And they did give me the name, exactly like you said, of the lady that runs the herb store. And that's well and good. And she, you know, she may be very knowledgeable about her realm, but she's not a naturopathic doctor. Our training is a postgraduate education. So everybody who is a naturopathic doctor and can call themselves an MD has some sort of undergraduate degree, along with certain prerequisite courses like chemistry and biology and physiology, before we can even get into naturopathic school. And then once we're there, we study the same basic medical sciences as our medical doctor colleagues and our nurse practitioner colleagues, the same anatomy, the same physiology, diagnosis, physical exam, things like that. But the difference is in how we view the entire framework of health and healing. And instead of looking at what happens when somebody gets a disease, how do we fight that and eradicate that, we look at how can we help build somebody's health. How can we help increase their vitality so that their body can actually heal themselves? And I think that's an important distinction, too. In our conventional medicine field, when the body gets a headache or indigestion, we think, well, something's wrong with the body. Why is it doing this? Let's just give it a pain reliever or an antacid and fix the body. In, I'm sure you know this, Dr. Jeanette, in our naturopathic medical world, we say that those symptoms, the headache or the indigestion or whatever it may be, those are the flag. Those are the alarm of our body saying, hey, pay attention. Something else, there's an underlying reason that needs to be addressed. And when we fix that, then we'll stop the headaches, then we'll stop the pain, then we'll stop the indigestion. And I think those are two really important distinctions, is that we always look for the cause, and then we try to work with the body to actually restore and build health. I think I kind of got away from your original question, but
that's okay.
Give me some good info.
Yes, it's always good info. And what I have found is so many times there seems to be this struggle between the MD and the ND, so the regular medical doctor and the naturopathic physician, where probably in the last 15 years, there's been not very many instances in which I was able to work with an MD that would be willing to support the patient in both paradigms, or even listen, and how that really, in my world, needs to change, or at least ease up a little bit.
Yeah.
Because clients are looking for that middle of the ground where they can take from both sides of the medicine and be able to take care of themselves. I mean, how many times have you, or I know myself and my clients have said, is that you would go to the medical doctor and you would tell him about the other alternative items you were using, such as a botanical or homeopathy, or maybe even some of the vitamins and the supplements you were taking, and the doctor would be saying, stop there, I don't need to know any of that stuff. When in actuality, he does need to know all of that stuff, because botanicals, as we will be talking about today, are medications in their purest form. So I think trying to find that fine line between, and we would say to the listeners, please take what we're saying and find yourself in the middle. You know, you don't have to sway either side and feel guilty about it. You can be in that middle.
Yeah, I don't think we need to choose sides. I think that there is value in both of our systems. And I think the honest truth is that, you know, medical doctors, they got into their field because they want to help people. And we got into our field because we want to help people. So we have the same goals. And I think that the true healthcare revolution will come when we can all work together as a team for our patients' best interests. And that's really where, you know, the magic starts to happen, because then the patients feel empowered and they feel good about their choices. And us doctors can have a conversation, too, about how to best support the health of our patients.
These days, I think most patients are getting their information from the television. Or from some of these talk shows, you know, where they say, well, broccoli is really great for breast cancer. You should have that every day. Well, the amounts of broccoli that you would need to help with, you know, a current state of I guess I would say, I don't really want to use the word, but I will, so the listeners will understand. If you currently have breast cancer or tending towards breast cancer, you know, half a cup of broccoli a day may support you, but, you know, by the time it's gone through the microwave and been cooked the day before and you're reheating it, there potentially is absolutely zero value there. So I think when patients see us, it's the next light bulb. It's, okay, I know broccoli works. I know I should be taking care of myself, but it's kind of not working, so maybe there's something I'm missing. And I think the missing part is actually helping people understand the value of what they're eating, the value of what they're putting in their body, and how that actually fits in towards helping your body to get rid of some of the toxins, to help it get rid of, you know, maybe some cells in there that have gone wild. You know, it's almost like that movie thing, you know, what's gone wild, you know? It's like they're all crazy, and you just need to quiet them down and clean them out.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's no more powerful medicine than food. It's what we're putting in our mouths 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times a day. You're feeding your body, and you're sending a message to the cells of your body. And we're learning now that food and the types of food that you eat can actually turn on certain genes so that they can be expressed, and can turn off certain genes. You know, we have more than one gene that encodes or that tells our body how to work, from down from the little, you know, at the cellular level to the level of your tissues and your organs. There's more than one gene that tells your body how to do these things. So if we can eat in a way that's going to turn on more of the healthy, full-functioning genes, then that is going to set you up for a lifetime of health and start to reverse any sort of off messages that your body is receiving. So food is really our most powerful medicine, and I spend a lot of time talking to my patients about that, a lot of time. It is, I always say to my patients too, you know, how effective do you think that supplement is going to be that you take twice a day if you're still eating X, Y, and Z, and you're stressed out, and you're not sleeping, and you hate your job? Do you really think that supplement, you know, how much effect is that going to have given the circumstances of your life?
You know, so many times I live here in the South, and I always talk about the brown and white food. And people outside of the area really don't understand that. It's brown and white is fried in sugar.
Uh-huh.
And almost everyone's plates are brown and white. And it's very common for many people in this area to say, I want the quarter pounder without the salad. And what that means is no lettuce and tomato or pickles or any of that stuff on there. You just want the quarter pounder with, and you can't even put an onion on because an onion is considered salad. So they just want the quarter pounder with their mayonnaise and their ketchup. And it's just so different to be able to believe how very everybody eats these days. I know one time I had a client, and I would ask her, I gave her a sheet, and I asked her to write down what she ate that day. And the items were microwave oatmeal, and it was something from the fast food for lunch, and then dinner was takeout from the restaurant down the street. And then the nighttime snack was whatever was in the refrigerator or the freezer. And how important that is, because one day I sat down and I said, I'm going to put all my food that I'll eat today on the counter for a minute. And I looked at it, and it was an egg, cucumber, a tomato, an apple, an orange, 2 potatoes, and ginger, and brown rice. And I said, look how different my list is to her list. Now, the point and the goal of health is, how can we get someone from, you know, that processed foods, all of that list, and they don't always have to come over to our side and what I call is greenie guru, I call, you know, they don't always have to be our side fully, but they do need to try to start giving up some of those items.
I really tell my patients to aim for progress, not perfection. And what I mean by that is I try to identify one big step that they can take that's going to give them a lot of benefit, the most benefit, you know, most bang for your buck. What's one thing we can do in your diet right now that's going to start to improve your health and remove any obstacles that your body, you know, if this is an obstacle to your body healing? So, like you said, I mean, most likely people aren't going to go do a whole radical switch, you know, from one side to the other. And that's okay, because the people that make those really dramatic switches in like a very short time. They change everything. We flip it all upside down on their head. They go from, you know, a couch potato to exercising 5 days a week. They totally change their diet. They cut out sodas. You know what usually happens? That's called a crash diet.
Right.
And whether or not the people are trying to, it's because they're trying to lose weight or because they're trying to improve their fatigue or they're trying to fix their IBS, whatever it is, the more changes you make at one time, the less likely you are to succeed at any one of them for the long term. So my goal is slow and steady. Let's make one change at a time. Let's start with, say, drinking more water. And once that becomes habit, and you don't even have to think twice about it again, well, then we can move on to the next thing. And that way you're not stressing your willpower to say, oh my God, I said I can't drink sodas anymore, and I have to eat a salad every day, and I have to make sure I'm getting, you know, 10 servings of fruits and vegetables. That stuff ends up stressing my patients out way more. And the goal here is to improve the overall health, and not just for 2 or 3 months, but for their lifetime. So what if it takes 6 months to get all these big foundational pieces in place? If it's a, like I said, if it's a foundation that gets them through the rest of their life with these healthy habits in place, then we have done a fantastic job. And that's much better than doing like the, well, I was perfect for 2 months, but then I totally went off track for 4 months, and now I'm going to try it again. You know, that oscillating, swinging back and forth and back and forth. My goal is to help people in their current circumstances start to implement the healthy lifestyle habits and changes that are going to serve them for life. And taking the progress, not perfection approach, that's something I learned myself from years and years of, you know, oscillating back and forth and being so-called, you know, perfect or being really good for a month or two at a time and then being really bad and binging and eating whatever I wanted and then going back and forth and back and forth. It's a lesson I had to learn myself, but now I feel like that has enabled me to really empathize with my patients because I've been there myself and I can help them more because I've learned tools and strategies that help me get out of that place.
You know, I think that's going to bring us into our next phase here where we're going to talk about fatigue and how to support yourself and what you might be able to do. You know, when you get that crash and burn with stress, you know, you're up against that wall, it's going to burn you right out. I can share my own story with Hurricane Katrina. You know, it was just, you know, you hit the wall. You hit the wall. Yeah. Not only did you hit the wall, but you turned it into dust. But then afterwards, when we talk about food, there wasn't any fresh food. And what was brought in was not what you should be eating. So I think when people start to make food choices, you really need to look at your area of where you live. You need to look at what your circumstances are. Do you have food available to you or not? And what your finances are. And then eventually you do have to start making some choices. And it's just to say, you know, maybe, hey, I've gotten people, and it's taken me now maybe 6 years. I have one client who would drink two liters of soda, the diet one, every single day for 50 years. But finally, now they're only on regular soda. But you know what?
Yeah.
That was a huge step that we needed to take. And now they're going from soda to tea. But boy, that can take you decades to get things done. Now, what I say about Hurricane Katrina, and you know what you really need to look at is, in your area, is the food safe? I mean, I've gone into restaurants and it'd be like, you know, I am just not going to eat a salad here because it's kind of creepy. So what I think both you and I are saying, don't say, I have to eat a salad today and ride that pony so hard that you put yourself at further risk for maybe having something that you really shouldn't have had. I mean, we used to have, they would bring all the ice in bags and stuff and water bottles and everything, and they'd all be out in the sun. Well, it was 110 degrees, and these water bottles were out in the sun for days and days and days. And people are just still picking them up. They throw them on ice, and they're drinking them. And they had so much of that plastic in their body that it just did not serve them later on in life.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of little things that you really need to pay attention to. If you were saying, hey, I really need to drink water, and someone says, well, I left a case of water in my car. I'm going to go put it in the refrigerator now. It's like, oh, do you really want to do that? So we really need to also let them know about conscious decisions. You know, when you can say, I guess I'm going to have to do the lesser of two evils. I'll eat that hamburger that's there for today because I'm not eating that salad because it looks funky. You know, so it's about making those type choices too.
And I think we look at helping people learn to trust themselves and their choices again. I think for the most part, you know, our patients are smart people. And like you said, there's so much information out there. You know, most of my patients are pretty savvy. And if I can help give them knowledge, then, you know, ultimately I want them to be able to learn how to apply and use that knowledge. So we may talk about the best ways to eat to support their energy, for example. But then ultimately, you know, they're out there living their life. They have to be the ones to make, like you said, that conscious choice, the conscious decision. I'm not in their pocket. I'm not standing next to them when they're in the grocery store and they're deciding what to eat. So it does take that conscious application of choice. And sometimes it means making the, you know, the less bad choice. And that's okay, because I teach my patients a lot, too, about doing your best and really, you know, sometimes your best means I'm not going to drink that water that's been out, you know, melting in melted plastic. And that's okay. And to let ourselves to recognize, you know, we can only do our best, and then to let ourselves off the hook and not beat ourselves up about it. Many of my patients are, you know, very successful, smart women who it's really hard when they perceive that they have done something wrong, or that, oh, I shouldn't have eaten this, or I know I shouldn't have done that. And they start to get in the cycle of beating themselves up and losing trust in themselves. You know, like, oh, well, clearly I can't trust myself around this, this, and this, and, oh, I can't trust myself to have just one cookie. I'm going to have 100 cookies. So my work is, it's not just on the physical, here, eat this, don't eat this, but really on changing some of the mental and emotional habits that surround our eating and our drinking and our lifestyle habits. And once we can change those mental habits and those emotional habits, then the physical habits start to get much easier.
You know, I think, I think so many times we keep pushing and pushing, and as we say, I'm doing the right things, I know I'm supposed to do it, and this is what I have to do, and on and on and on, we don't stop to say, you know what, I really don't think I should do that today. You know, many of people have died of heart attacks on treadmills. I mean, you know, I have two relatives that did. It's like, what are you going to do? You're going to keep pushing and pushing? And they were like, yeah, I got to go. Okay, well, and, you know, those things did happen. And so we want to just let people off the hook, which brings us to today's topic about fatigue. You know, when do you recognize it, pay attention to it, and when do you even think, you know, I don't need to keep pushing, or when do I need to give into it? So if we could talk a little more about fatigue and what your thoughts are on that. What to recognize? You know, what, why is or when is it important?
Well, there's really two separate things here. So there's fatigue and then there's tiredness. And fatigue is that persistent low energy state. So day after day after day into months, where you're missing that vital energy that has you participating in your daily life. So it's when it starts to impact your normal daily functions, whether it's going to work or playing with the kids or picking them up from school or even, you know, being able to cook yourself meals, things like that. And then there's tiredness, which happens, it's another state of low energy, but that is not as persistent. Now, there can be, you can have episodes of tiredness, like for many years I had the after lunch crash that would happen between, oh, I don't know, 1 to 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And that was persistent, but for the rest of the time, for the rest of the day, I had pretty good energy. So, you know, first is figuring out, well, what do I have? What's going on here? Is this a persistent type of fatigue that's interfering with my everyday life, or is this more like tiredness, spells of tiredness that can come and go and are more dependent on situational or circumstantial causes? You know, it's obvious. If you didn't get a good night of sleep or you stayed up too late or had to get up way earlier, it may be fairly obvious that you're going to be tired that day. But that's different than fatigue, which is happening every day regardless of your circumstances. So we have to figure out the cause first. We have to know what's the root cause.
So you're saying that fatigue, when I'm taking my four kids, because two have to go to soccer, two are in the back seat in a car seat, and I'm sitting there with the radio on and snoring at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, that might be fatigue, right?
Yes, yes. And it's that that life, you know, it's the sometimes it starts out very subtly, and we don't even notice it. But then it's persistent and pervasive, and it adds up. There's a metaphor about a frog. And if you put a frog into a pot of hot water, it will jump out immediately. But if you put a frog into a pot of cold water, and then you put that cold water on the stove, and you gradually start to warm it up, that frog won't jump out. It will eventually stay in there until it dies. Now, I hope nobody goes and does this experiment.
yeah, really.
But, you know, but it's a metaphor for our lives. And a lot of times we're on that pot that's just gradually getting hotter. We're getting more stressed out. We have more demands at work. Our kids are getting older and they're involved in more after-school activities. We, you know, volunteer to be on the board of a local nonprofit, and just gradually all these stressors can add up until we're cooked. And we're literally then, you know, it's almost like all of a sudden you wake up and you say, oh my God, how did I get here? I feel terrible. What happened?
And I think that really happens to a lot of women when their kids go off to high school and then they go off to college and then women are left, and all of a sudden here comes the crashing diseases of breast cancer, ovarian cancer, uterine cancer, brain cancer. A lot of life, really a life-altering diseases seem to crop up after everything else has been released. You know, once you've taken away all those stressors that have kept your bicycle running on low, you know, and you just kept going and going and denying what's actually happening to you or not paying attention to it, all of a sudden, when you have nothing else to listen to, all of a sudden, it's just like your chain snaps. And there you are. Mm-hmm. You're cooked.
Mm-hmm. You're cooked, exactly. Just like the frog. And a lot of my women are, my patients are in this sort of space where they're in the pressure cooker and they don't even see it. Much of my time we spend talking about what are the things in your life that recharge your battery. And, you know, it's different for everybody. Some people are really passionate about their work and they get really excited about that. And that charges their battery. It definitely is in the deposit side of the checking account. And then we talk about, well, what are the things in your life that are draining your battery? And what are making the withdrawals from that checking account? And, you know, sometimes people will have these awareness or awakenings that, oh my gosh, my job, I started out liking it, and you know, but now I realize I really hate it. It's not what I thought it would be, and it's draining me every day. I have to go there. Or sometimes it's, it could literally be, you know, running around and like we were talking about, like chasing after your kids for their 3 or 4 or 5 different after school things, or it could be even relationships. You know, like toxic relationships that can drag you down and steal your energy. So just having the awareness, I don't tell people what to do with their life. I really try to open their eyes up to seeing what's going on, and then they can make their own choices. And sometimes it means, you know, instead of you being the one that drives your kids around to the 4 different after-school activities, you divide that up with your partner, or you tag team with another mom, and the, you know, you alternate days that you do it with the other mom. But learning how to ask for help and learning how to prioritize and decide, is this something that is really, you know, given what it's doing to my body and my energy, my physical, mental, emotional energy, is it worth the payoff? And then if it is, deciding, well, how can we make that work in my life? And if it isn't, then how can we let that go and add more of the stuff that does charge you up into your life so that you're not in that pressure cooker?
But there also comes to a time when I always think of the batteries, you know, ever ready batteries, they say, mm-hmm. they'll last forever and then they just die. But there's also, we think about these rechargeable batteries. People think mm-hmm. those will never die, but they do. The cell inside just totally gets fried. So why would we not think the same would happen to our body? Where it's great, we can, you know, I've had a few days, I need some sleep, I'll get it on the weekend. And then this starts to become a pattern, whereas eventually that inner core, there's nothing left. And I think that brings us to talking about botanicals and homeopathy and how that may yeah. start to help some people along with nutrition. So if we could give a few tips, let's start with nutrition first, about what things may help to increase your inner being energy, not just, you know, let's just take vitamin C and we're good to go. It's really not all that simple.
Right. Yeah, we do. We need to constantly be recharging our batteries on a daily basis. And sometimes, like you said, that battery just gets so worn out and depleted, we need extra help. And nutrition alone may not be enough to do it, but it is the foundation. We need to start there. So the really very simplest and most basic way that I start my patients on eating for energy is to start by making sure that every meal has a protein source and vegetables. So vegetables are going to supply a lot of the micronutrients. So what that means is things like our vitamins, our minerals, all that good stuff that comes from a plant-based diet. And then protein gives us more of a sustained fuel source. So it gives us more sustained energy. Those afternoon crashes that I was talking about that I had, unfortunately, during a lot of my medical school years, were from not eating the right way for my body. And my lunches would be more carbohydrate heavy. So carbohydrates come in fruits and vegetables, but they also come in grains and starches and breads and potatoes and pastas and things like that. And I was a big bread girl, and I would not have, and I maybe would have a little bit of protein with that, but I certainly didn't have enough to give me lasting and sustained fuel. And I maybe, again, I'd have like a little bit of lettuce or something like that on a sandwich, or maybe a slice of tomato, but it wasn't enough to supply my body with the micronutrients. So the protein is the macronutrient. That's the big nutrients, protein, carbohydrate, and fat. And then the micronutrients are coming from the plants that are making up the bulk of your meal. So a typical day's meal plan might look something like a hard-boiled egg or two with maybe half a cup of berries or a banana or something like that. You can certainly have fruit in the morning. I like to do veggie omelets. So that way I can make a big omelet on Sunday, put a whole dozen eggs in there, saute some spinach and some sun-dried tomatoes, and maybe put a little sprinkle of feta cheese on top. And then I can have it have the leftovers for breakfast the next day. So it gives me some protein and some veggies all in one. And then lunch would be something like, if you're used to having sandwiches, pull off, throw away the bread, and bulk up the vegetables, the tomatoes, the pickles, the lettuces, and then keep your protein on top. So it can be as easy as, you know, a couple slices of that turkey meat that would have normally come on your sandwich. And then dinner can be, we love the grill, and as you were mentioning, it's been so warm this autumn, we've been able to keep the grill out a bit longer than usual. And so we'll marinate some chicken and then throw it on the grill, and then we'll also throw some vegetables on the grill. So it's done all at once. There's not 100 pots and pans to clean up, and everything cooks there all at once. So again, it's really veggies and protein, because that helps to keep your blood sugars more balanced. And a lot of times people's fatigue and energy crashes are because their blood sugars are hitting these very high highs and then having these very low lows. So we want to avoid that roller coaster and try to make it more stable and more steady. The protein and veggies will help to do that.
And I think it's also, I've had clients who have said, yes, I eat all of those things. I have my fruits and it's opened up in a can. And then they said, I added green beans and corn to my meals. So this morning I had a can of fruit cocktail, and at dinner I had a can of beans and a can of corn. And it's so important to realize that that is a step for them, and then you take it as that step. And then when you get ready, you know, let them marinate in that step for several months, 6 months or so, and then go to the next step. Okay, now we're going to take one of those items out and replace it with a frozen item. And then when we work our way from frozen, then we go to fresh. So for people listening who think about fatigue, you're thinking, hey, I'm tired already, and now you're telling me I need to make choices, which wears me out even more, and I have to go do all of that work and that cooking, and I'm just not into this. So for people to understand, take any choice, small choice, and just move very, very slowly, because each notch will get you to the next space.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. That's the whole progress versus perfection model that I talked about. And sometimes that honestly, that is the best first step that you can take, is to, you know, I have patients too, and I say, go to the store and buy a bag of frozen stir-fry vegetables. There you go. It's already chopped up. You've got a mix. And all you have to do is dump it into a pot and stir fry it. And that is a great first step. Or, you know, start with the canned stuff. But you have to start from wherever you are and take one step. I think you really hit the nail on the head there.
And it's hard, you know, when we as doctors know that canned food is not great for you. So we're not saying it's great for you, but we're saying people who have never, ever, ever, and I know many of them, never eaten anything, and they're in their 60s and 70s, that is red, green, orange. They've never done it. They have never touched it and never will. So you really do have to make simple choices that are just inching your way through. Mm-hmm. We all know, mm-hmm. and please don't take that Dr. Amber and I are saying that canned food is great. We didn't say that. What we're saying is make simple choices up the ladder instead of just staying where you are.
Yep. Yep.
So how about we talk about botanicals? So can you define in your words what a botanical is? Because we don't want people to have the concept that they can go outside and pick a plant up out of the ground and, hey, I'm good to go.
Yeah. We herbs and botanical medicine, and I use the words interchangeably sometimes, so you'll hear me say both, but they can be very powerful medicine. So it's really, especially if you have specific health issues or concerns that you're working on, it's important that you work with somebody who's been trained in this. And as we sort of said earlier, our training as naturopathic doctors, we have years and years and hundreds of hours of training in these types of medicines. And that's a lot different than someone who's taken a few weekend courses or, did an online study course. And additionally, in our education, in our naturopathic schooling, we had supervised clinical rotations where we actually worked one-on-one with patients under the supervision of other doctors, not only naturopathic doctors, but we also worked with medical doctors, chiropractors, acupuncturists, osteopathic doctors, in all sorts of settings and fields so we could learn how to apply this type of medicine most effectively. So herbs, while, as I said, they can be very, very powerful medicine, they have a very safe track record when used correctly. And there's not been any reported harm from or death from nutritional and herbal supplements in the last 20 to 30 years. But you need, especially if you're on medications, you need to be working with somebody who knows what they're doing and is trained in looking at herb, drug, and drug nutrient interactions.
One second, Dr. Amber. Yes. I think it's really important to understand, too, pharmacy medicine has its origin in botanical medicine, because if you take, what you're really doing with pharmacy medicine is they are taking out one component out of a flower, a tree, a plant, leaves, or roots. They're taking one component out of that, and they are saying that this is your drug. So when people are saying, I see an oak tree, they just see an oak tree. What I see as a naturopathic physician when I look at an oak tree, I see a lot of different constituents in how I can help the patient with its bark or with its leaves or with its root.
Right.
I see all these different components in the same tree. When a pharmaceutical person looks at the oak tree, they see one component that they can take out of that tree as a drug.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really super, super important to be able to understand that. You can't just go around saying, hey, I know herbs, I know botanicals, I'm going to take that bark off that tree and we're just going to have us some medicine.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, you're not.
Yeah. Pharmaceutical medicine has its roots in herbal medicine. And the difference is, like you said, they took one component that has a very known course of action in the body, and then so purified it out and then amplified it hundreds or thousands of times to what we would normally find in nature. And many times we use herbs for exactly because they have all the different constituents in there, which I believe work in harmony with what, you know, what we have identified as the quote-unquote active constituents in something. But they need to be applied properly. Some of the the place where I like to start with fatigued and tired patients is to really start to build that core vital energy. It's that energy that, not just physical energy like, ooh, now I want to jump up and go for a run. It's the energy that helps our bodies be able to heal. It's that energy that helps our bodies be able to fight off colds and flus and illnesses. It's that energy that helps our body respond to stressors and be able to handle stressors better. So there's a class of herbs called adaptogens, and I always start my patients there. I know you're going to ask me, what are adaptogens?
Right.
And adaptogens are herbs that, one, are known to be innocuous, so very safe for the body, and two, known to act in a general way to increase the overall vitality. So these, we have herbs that we know have very specific actions in certain parts of the body. So some herbs that are really good for the lungs, or some herbs that are really good for the GI tract. These adaptogens work on the overall vitality, so strengthening that overall vital energy that we all need so our bodies can heal and so our bodies can have resistance to stress and handle life better. So I start with adaptogens for all of my patients.
So if we are taking an herb, is that something as simple as a tea or a supplement? Or and how might you look at slowly starting with herbs with somebody? I mean, we really need to be clear about, well, we're talking about herbs. We are talking about, as naturopathic physicians, from reliable companies that we know have very clean compounds. They're from reliable sources, and they are very much, they're streamlined to what they're going to do.
Yeah.
It's not like going and picking up some, like we've said before, somebody's got something dried out there and they're selling it at the farmer's market.
Yeah. There is a huge difference in quality of herbal supplements that are out there. And I'm sure your listeners probably know this, so forgive me if I'm repeating it, but the natural product industry is not regulated in any way. Anybody can pretty much start up a company and dry out whatever and put it in a capsule and say, hey, this is good for this. And no one is going to ask them to say, hey, can you provide us with a laboratory analysis that, you know, it's really what's in the capsule is really what you say is in there, or that it really actually dissolves in the body and gets to where it's supposed to be and does what it's supposed to do. So it's really important that you talk to your naturopathic doctor or someone who's trained in this and knows how to look for a good quality supplement. I use a variety. I don't always use capsules from supplement companies. Sometimes I do recommend people to make teas, therapeutic teas, out of dried herbs. And they can buy them online from there are certain companies that sell more like therapeutic grade herbal teas. And sometimes I do grow my own mint and I grow my own lemon balm, and I will dry, because I know I can identify those. I have the training to be able to do that. I'll dry them myself and make them into teas for myself. But sometimes I recommend teas. Sometimes we do powdered herbs and in a loose form, and I'll have people add it to smoothies or to make it into little what I call herbal candies, which are a mixture of dried nuts and seeds and dried fruits with the herbs added in. Sometimes I have people make I use this recipe I call my fatigue-proof cocoa drink. So I use a raw powdered cocoa, And then I add in my adaptogenic herbs and a little splash of some almond milk. And I have a lot of my patients starting off their day with that instead of coffee, because this is something that will actually recharge your battery and build your body's energy versus coffee, which is more of a stimulant. It doesn't actually build your energy. It just gives you sort of like a false illusion of energy. And, you know, some people can do a little coffee and they're okay with it. But my issue with coffee is when it becomes a crutch that people need to rely on multiple cups a day to get them through their day. Then we need to look at, you know, what's the underlying reason why they need this compound to get them through the day, and then try to fix that.
So it's also important, I think, to say at this time, with botanical medicine, is this something that I'm going to just be taking, you know, a little glass of tea once a day, and I'll do that for like 2 weeks, and then I'm finished? Or
yeah.
Maybe, you know, is this a hit or miss? I'll throw it in my car, and then I come to see you again in 2 weeks, and really nothing's changed. So how would you speak to them about that?
Herbal medicine is different than pharmaceutical medicine, and I think a lot of us are used to taking a pill and within a couple of hours or even, you know, 24 to 48 hours, we're noticing a benefit. And at that point, though, usually the benefit is maxed out. You're getting, you know, once that drug, that pharmaceutical drug, has reached its peak concentrations in your body, usually you've reached your maximal benefit. So herbs work really different. They work with your body to restore balance. And if you've been dealing with health issues that have been developing for years, then no herb is going to bring your body back to balance in a couple of days or even in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. My adaptogens, for example, that fatigue-proof cocoa drink, I have people taking that drink in the morning every day for 3 months before I'll even evaluate, is this working or not? Because we need that much time for their body to start to build up that energy again. And I sometimes will have patients taking a second or a third dose later on in the day as well. And this is, of course, while they're also, you know, making progress in their diet, we're working on sleep, we're talking about stress management, all of that stuff works in concert to give their body the best chance to heal. And it can take a while, but the thing with herbs is that even though it may take longer before you start to notice effects, because it's actually changing the way your body's working and restoring it back to balance, you will get more prolonged benefit. And you will see that benefit increases over time as you use the herbs. Now, some herbs we use acutely. You know, if you have a cold or a flu, you might use different types of herbs for a short period of time. But what we're talking about here, which is building up people's vital energy, that takes time.
You know, I think I like to, when I speak with clients, talk about a plant in the same reference. When you have a plant, and what you've done is you have taken it from a seedling and you put it out in a big pot. Excuse me. And you put it in a big pot, and it has a kind of a shock factor. And then what you need to do is you give it a little bit better, you know, dirt. You'll throw in some eggshells or coffee grinds for some nutrition to the plant. Then you water it all the time, and you notice it's not doing well. So you'll move it around, and you adjust it to the sun. You'll give it a little more or less water. And you'll say, well, maybe I shouldn't be giving it eggshells. I'll just give it more coffee on there. And I think of that as our body. You know, we have to adjust constantly. And it takes a long time for that plant to adjust to the space in which it's in. So if we're someone who had been stressed by moving to a new job, moving to a new location, you need to keep yourself supplemented and nurtured along the way so that you, when you get to that spot, you'll be able to flourish, or else you'll decide this just isn't the spot for me and just let it go. and how that's not, you know, that's not immediate. It may take, you may take a plant that's dying, and it could take it, you know, 4, 5, 6 months to be able to come back, but, you know, give it time. So when we're using botanical medicine, I like to think of it the same way, give it time.
Right. And I think you bring up a good point, too, here, which is that everybody's different, and we will need to do trial and error, and we will need to fine-tune, and we will need to tweak the process as we go along to figure out what works best for you. There, you know, I have basic sort of blueprints that I start my patients on, but in the end, we totally individualize it to make it work for you based off of your own metabolism, your family history, your genetics, your lifestyle, your stressors, your circumstances. We try to recognize that every person's an individual, and everybody may need, you know, more eggshells, less eggshells, little more light or a little less light, and make it work for you.
And it does make a difference that you just listen to yourself and be able to relate that information back to your doctor. Because so many times we say, oh, yeah, I'm fine. When you're fine is not really the answer. I think when someone says to you, I'm fine, that is actually the opposite. I think that word is it's so overused these days.
Yeah, and we, a lot of times, too, my patients are saying to just having sort of one-word conversations with their healthcare providers, I say, so tell me how you're feeling. I'm tired. And that's it. And I want to know, well, tell me how you're tired. Where do you feel the tired? When is your tiredness the worst? When is your tiredness the best? You know, what are the things that change it? And it's a whole level of, like you were saying, that body awareness, like learning about our bodies. And ultimately, that's my goal for my patients. Learn about your bodies. What are your bodies? What's your message? What signals are your body is your body sending you? And then learning the tools that you need to keep that in balance. So I don't necessarily want to create somebody that, you know, every time they're like, oh, my God, I crashed after I ate my lunch. I need to run back to Dr. Amber. No, I want to give you the tools and the education you need so that you know, oh, my gosh, when I crash after a meal, that probably means I had too much carbohydrate, not enough protein and veggies. So they learn how to adjust that stuff themselves.
So, Dr. Amber, we're coming up on, we have about 20 minutes left.
Uh-huh.
If you could give us a little bit more information about what your blueprint would be with a patient to help with fatigue, to help with some lifestyle changes.
Okay, so I believe that there are four foundations for our health. It's nutrition, it's movement and exercise, it's sleep, and it's stress. So we have to start with it, picking at least one thing in each of those areas. And it depends on where is the biggest challenge right now. For some of my patients, it may be sleep. You know, maybe their diet's good enough, but their sleep is really a challenge, and they can't fall asleep or they have trouble staying asleep. So we need to start there. So we can start with botanicals or homeopathic remedies that would help them get better sleep, or even stress management tools or techniques. Because, again, it depends on, well, what's causing the sleep problems. Maybe it is related to the diet. Maybe their blood sugar is crashing, and that's why they can't fall asleep and they're feeling more anxious and restless. So we start with wherever I perceive the most bang for our buck is going to come from. What are the things that are holding you back the most? But I also look at the mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual parts. What battery is drained there the most? And sometimes if it's the spiritual battery, you know, someone who doesn't know what they're doing with their life, what's my purpose, what's my life about, how am I making a difference? Sometimes, you know, it could be that if that battery is so low, it could be draining the other batteries as well. So I really, it's an individual process by looking at what area needs the most help first and then working with that. But I can say that most of my patients, we start with protein and veggies at each meal. We start by adding in usually some herbal adaptogens, like I talked about, to start to build that vital energy. And then we start with some type of downtime, relaxation time, stress management, all of that sort of clumped into one. And I don't know about you, but for many years, I, you know, with two small kids and a business and a family, I never, ever took 5 minutes for myself a day where I wasn't doing something for somebody else. And I'm sure you can relate. I'm sure your listeners can relate to that. And like never even time to hear myself think. You know, even in the bathroom, my kids would, you know, bark in the door or, you know, something would happen. Right. I didn't even have 5 minutes to myself. And that quiet time is an important, really, really important piece in figuring out your healing. So it's in those moments where we can have insights into our body's messages. It's in those moments, those quiet moments, where we can start to hear ourselves think and recognize those thought habits and patterns that may hold us back. You know, are we beating ourselves up? Are we reliving traumas and stresses from the past? Are we worrying about something that hasn't happened yet? And it's in those quiet moments where we can start to see, really identify what our needs are and start to get some ideas about how we can ask for that, or at least ideas about how we work and how to bring back to our meetings, you know, at our next visit, those insights so that we can talk about a plan and a strategy to start to move your life in the direction you want it to have the vibrant energy and the intimacy and connectedness that we all desire, and that sense of purpose in our life that I think many people are missing out on. So I know that's not a step one, step two, step three sort of blueprint, but it is, that's how I start with patients.
I think when you go to a regular doctor, when you tell them you're tired or you're really exhausted, all you get is a prescription. And I would caution most of listeners that when you get that prescription, if you've ever taken any of those medications, and I'm always the queen of, I take everything first before I give it to anybody. I've taken those. Oh my goodness. Some of my reactions were not that great. I can remember getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning and eating and never remembering. Or I can remember, you know, falling asleep at 6 o'clock at dinner time and being up for the rest of the night. Or I can remember being so zonked after 14 hours of sleep on some of those medications that you couldn't even tie your shoes. It was like, I'm ready for my next 16 hours to sleep.
Yeah.
So there are various, you know, different reasons to take them, but just to understand that's really not the answer. So what Dr. Amber and I have said today is about there are other answers beyond that. Because if you keep trying to facilitate it with a pharmaceutical item, you're pretty much not going to get to what's really causing it. And it's almost like, you know, you keep trying to clean out your drain, but you kind of do it half-wittedly. And you're kind of like you just clear what you can see, but you really don't take care of the drain itself. So eventually you're consistently having this issue. And I think when you take a pharmaceutical, you will consistently be having that issue, only to have it get worse or to tie into something else. So it's very important to look at, you know, your entire life. And it's hard to find somebody that will sit down and talk to you for an hour, hour and a half, to be able to recognize what you're saying or what might be amiss in your life that you can make changes in. Have you found that with your clients?
Yeah. Pharmaceuticals definitely have their time and place. But when they are used to cover up the alarm of your body and not address the underlying cause, that's when we really run into trouble. And I give this analogy that if you were sound asleep at night and your smoke detector went off, you would, you know, wake up, you would jump up, and you would go and try to figure out why that smoke detector alarm is going off. You wouldn't just pull out the batteries and, you know, put in earplugs. And that's essentially what many pharmaceutical drugs are doing. It's shutting down the messenger. It's shutting down the alarm instead of figuring out what's setting off the alarm in the first place. And now I do work with many patients who are on pharmaceuticals, and we can use the techniques that naturopathic medicine practices to build health. And as your health gets better, then your need for those medications can reduce, and you can talk to the prescribing doctor about removing them. But a lot of times it, like you said, it can cover up people's symptoms and sometimes create problems that are worse than the original symptom in the first place. And people just don't feel like they're self anymore and get into this like vicious cycle that they don't even know what's really my body, my body's alarm, and what is because of this artificial influence of this pharmaceutical drug.
And we have about 10 minutes left. So I think it's important to also recognize fatigue when it gets to be an extreme, when it gets to be creating other disease, and that we're talking about fatigue on a slight to a moderate level, but when it gets to be very drastic and overtakes your life, and maybe
right.
what you don't pay attention to and it turns into other very serious illness, people take the word
yeah.
lightly, fatigue, or lightly
yeah.
tired, but it, yeah. we are emphasizing, both Dr. Amber and I are very much emphasizing to you to pay attention, because 5 and 10 years go very fast. And in 5 to 10 years, if your day looks a little bit worse than it was 5 or 10 years ago, and you're consistently going down that path, eventually, as I've said in the beginning, when you hit that wall, you not only hit the wall, that wall disintegrates, you're done. It's not just something simple like nutrition and a few botanicals that's going to help you get out of that or to rebuild yourself. So it is very important that you take the necessary steps and do listen along the way.
Right. Fatigue is an alarm. It is a symptom of your body saying there's an underlying reason. And there can be very serious underlying causes. And that stuff really does need to be thoroughly investigated and examined so that you can get yourself on the correct course and stop it before you hit that wall that just shatters and crumbles, like Dr. Jeanette was saying.
And you know, when it crumbles, there's very rarely when you reconstruct it, will it have the same perfection and the same, you know, ability to function as you did before. So I think when we say when you have a severe blow to your body, you're going to reconstruct it as best you can, but, you know, don't get disappointed when you can't get back to, hey, I wanted to be like I was when I was 40, right? And
yeah.
I think that's funny when I just said that, because most people say, I want to get back to like I was when I was 20 and 30, and I'm like, no, I'll just take 40.
Uh-huh.
You know, but that is the truth, you know, just go back 10 years. I want to go back 10. But some people are so stuck on this idea that they have to go back 20 and 30 years. And that may just not be attainable. And at that point, hey, it's, you know, do the best you can and good luck.
Right. Yeah. And that's, I think, where our medicine can be so powerful. You don't have to be stranded in this. You know, many of my patients fall into this gray area where they know that they're not feeling well. They don't feel good. But when they go to their conventional medical doctor, there's no diagnosis that they fit into. And so, you know, a lot of times they're left in this middle space like, well, doctor says there's nothing wrong with me, and I know I'm not feeling good. What do I do? And that's where our medicine,
right,
that's where I think we can really thrive and help people, is to get that, move people from, you know, wait, you don't have to wait until you're all the way sick before you start,
right,
getting better. You can start getting better now.
Can you touch a little bit on homeopathy and how that might work with your practice?
Sure. I use a lot of homeopathy in my practice. And homeopathy is its own separate, distinct system of medicine. It's not the same thing as herbs, and it's not the same thing as taking a vitamin. It is the way that we prescribe the medicine is based on the idea that a small substance that causes a healing and can cause a healing and adaptive response in the body. So, for example, when somebody gets a vaccination, you're giving a vaccination to create a healing and adaptive response in the body. Now, we're not talking about vaccination. It's a very different thing, but it works in a similar sort of way where we give the body a small dose of a substance that we want to basically to help to turn on that healing light that we all have inside of us. And I feel like it really helps get people unstuck. I know that's a very, very technical term.
right.
But a lot of times I see patients who are in these repeating habits and patterns, both physically and mentally and emotionally, and you can't get themselves out. And they need like a little spark to just get them over the hump so that they can start to implement changes in their life and so that they can start to feel better and have the little bit of spark and energy so they can be like, oh, okay, well, now I do feel like I'm feeling a little better, so I actually can get up and make myself a home-cooked meal. That's where I see the value of homeopathy. And I see patients starting to feel better in a couple of days to a couple of weeks just from making those changes. But it is not, it's not a, you know, magic solution either, because in order for them, for the homeopathic remedies to work well, your body has to be able to respond to it in a healthy way. And if your body is missing, you know, what I call the building blocks for health, water and the fruits and the veggies and the sleep, then, you know, again, how well can something work if all of those pieces aren't in place? So this works together. As you're working on getting the nutrition and the sleep and the stress management in place, we can give you a homeopathic remedy, which will help you get that stuff in place even better. And that stuff will then help the homeopathic remedy work better, and it all connects. And that's, I think, another benefit to our medicine, excuse me, is that we have all these tools that we can use at the same time to help people start to feel better quickly, safely, and effectively.
And there's so many pieces to getting better and helping you, you know, being able to get up each day, see that the day is a great place, see you're going to have a great day, and being able to work through all of those things you have to do that day. And at the end of the day, appreciating your day and going off to productive sleep. And how many people can actually say that they've done all that? I have people who say, didn't want to get out of bed. Well, I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
Well, man, I'm super tired. Oh, I can't wait to go to bed. Oh, I can't sleep. And every time they say one of those things, it's important to note that that is setting them up to have a repeat pattern. So as you and I both know, when we work with patients, it's about get up in the morning, and it doesn't matter what your day looks like, say, I am having a great day, and how simple that would change. You know, every single day, it's snowing outside. I am having a great day. My car won't start. I am having a great day. You know, yesterday my husband got in a car. got in a car wreck, you know, and he called me up. He says, I got in a car wreck. I said, are you hurt? He said, no. I said, you're having a great day. Okay.
Yeah, I'll talk to you later.
You know?
It's finding the gratitude in something. And I know, I mean, for a long time, I struggled with that too. And I couldn't, to be honest with you, I couldn't say to myself, I'm having a great day. It just felt like a lie. So I started with finding one thing I could be grateful for. So I would say, I'm grateful my kids are healthy, or I'm grateful that I have two legs that carry me around everywhere I need to go, or I'm grateful that I got to be outside for 5 minutes and see the sun. And it, you know, and like, it's different for everybody. And if we can find that gratitude, which I think is what you're talking about too,
right.
You know, your husband wasn't hurt. That is great. Wonderful. Because there are people that are in a car accident and they are hurt. So,
right.
You know, it's about finding something that you can be grateful for. And that, like you said, starts to shift those mental habits and patterns. And that stuff, when you can shift your emotions and your mindset, the hormones that are in your brain actually flow throughout your body and change the way your body works. When you're having angry thoughts and when you're having stressed out and overwhelmed and anxious thoughts, those hormones likewise are going throughout your body and having effects there and shutting down healing. So if you can start to change your brain, you will change your body.
I think
that's the subject of a lot of interest for me.
So many times when people say fatigue, it's like, I have to do this, I have to go there, I have to. And in this new world that we're in now, I find people that have been through natural disasters, as I have, and hundreds of thousands and millions of other people have, when something is taken away from you that you believed was so important, like your home, your job, your community, your source of stability, you realize that nothing, absolutely nothing, is important except you. So how hard is that? To get to the point where you realize you just have to take care of yourself. You don't have to go to the store. You don't have to make those cupcakes. You don't have to have four kids in 10 different things, you know. I had four children and, you know, each one got one thing. One thing they were allowed to be in per season. And that was it. You know, we weren't doing all of that. Somebody else running here, running there, blah, blah, blah. It just didn't happen. And so looking at our lives in a different way, what is really important in your life? Do you really need, you know, 10 skirts in your closet, all black, you know? Or do you need, you know, 20 sweaters for every season? You really don't. And to look at the way other people live. You know, you look at the people in Europe, you know, they talk about their closets all the time. You know, why are these small closets in these European cities? It's because they just don't believe that they need all of this stuff.
Yeah.
Why is their kitchen so small in their refrigerators? You know, if you ever watch on HGTV, when the people go to these European countries, they're like, why is this refrigerator so small? I need an American refrigerator. And the people look at them like they're crazy. Why? Because you need to store more stuff? We don't store more stuff. We just get it fresh. So start to look at your life like maybe in a different way will totally release a lot of that baggage that's causing your fatigue that you've got to carry around every day. I mean, if you keep carrying this bag or this suitcase of I gotta, I have to, and keeping up with everybody, if you can kick that to the curb, hey, you're already getting somewhere. Have you found that?
Yeah, there is. I see sometimes patients will describe to me their fatigue feels heavy. And and I look, and so I'll ask them, well, what are you carrying around? And, you know, it's really interesting, some of the responses that I get, people carrying around either, like you were saying, an attachment to things, that end up consuming a lot more of their time and their energy, or an attachment to certain thoughts that maybe at one point had a payoff for them but are no longer serving them. It's no longer propelling them, but they've just gotten stuck in this habit now where they think that they need these thoughts and they think that they are these thoughts. You know, I have to work out 5 days a week. Well, maybe you don't. Maybe 3 days is enough.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, I actually, a lot of the work I do with women is sometimes it's not about doing more. You know, people will say, well, I'm tired, and I'm already doing, you know, exercise 5 days a week. Maybe I need to add in another day, or maybe I need to try spinning instead of Zumba, or, you know, and I'm, a lot of times the answer is not more, it's less. Or maybe, you know, I cut out dairy. Well, maybe now I need to cut out wheat. And sometimes the answer isn't more restriction and more putting energy outward, but really learning how to put energy inward. How can you do activities that actually build you up and help you grow?
And I think in closing, we have about 2 minutes left.
Yeah.
I think it's very important to appreciate just who you are and the basics and not have to put all these other things forth. So if you really think about just basically eating what you need for today, basically what do you need to do today, and appreciate who you are and where you are and what you have. What you have is not a house, success, and job, and a money. What you have is your kids who are sitting next to you, no matter what they look like, you know, they could have food all over them and they could be crawling around the dirty floor.
Yeah.
You got your kids, you know? And why are you so stressed and try to reduce some of these stressors in our life? So it's just very important to notice that we are a participant in our fatigue. We are a contribution to our fatigue. It just doesn't happen to us. You know, and to really, really focus on that. What can we let go of that? So, Dr. Amber, it was great having you today. If you could please give us your information about your website and how to contact you, and so that people will be able to reach out and if they have any questions.
Sure. Thank you. My website is www.drambergolshani.com. So it's D-R. AmberGolshani.com. I know that's long. DrAmberGolshani.com. And I do work with patients all over the country. And I have an answering service if you're interested in making an appointment. And you can find that number on my website. Or I'll give it to you right now. It's 1-877-627-5507. You can find out more from the blogtalkradio.com. Dr. Jeanette's page there has more of my contact information.
It was so great having you today, and I know that's a discussion that everybody needs to hear about, you know, and just explore a little bit different ideas and maybe what they could do about being really tired in the day. So thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. So to the listeners, if there's any more information that you would like about Dr. Amber Golshani, her link is on today's show page description. You just click directly through that link. If you have any issues and you'd have further questions, you can always contact me at outoftheboxhealthcare.com. My contact information is also there, or directly through this show page with Blog Talk Radio. If at any time you would like to contact and see about a physician in your area, please do contact Dr. Amber or I, and we will be able to refer you to someone that might be just around the corner from you, or also to a doctor that will be able to work with you over the telephone. So I'd like to thank you so much for being with us, And tomorrow we are on to, we have about four or five more naturopathic physicians to talk about naturopathic medicine. So have a great day, and I get outside, and I hope it's a great day where you are. Now don't forget, if you have any of those nice colored leaves, you could always send them to me. Thank you.